The Eddie B. Sit Edition, an audio series of the Talmud Bavli.
Masechet Betzah has been dedicated anonymously to the Fuas Shelema of Meir Ben Esther. El Narefanalo, El Narefanalo, El Narefanalo, Betok She'ar Chole Amo Yisrael. Amen.
Amen.
Masechet Betzah has been dedicated as well to the Ilun Ishmat Sarah Bat Mazal. Ruach Hashem Tanihenna Began Eden. Amen. We bless our anonymous sponsor that Be'ezat Hashem he should be blessed with Arichut Yamim, health, Osher Ve'osher Ve'chavod, and Be'ezat Hashem should be Zocher in the near future to raise a family and continue all his good work for the community. Amen.
Daf Tet Zayin. Today's daf is being studied, Le'ilu Nishmat Avraham ben Esther, Ruach Hashem Tanichenu Began Eden, Amen. Today's daf is being studied, Refuah Shelema, Sarah Bat Rachel. Inna Refanala, Inna Refanala, Inna Refanala, Refuat HaNefesh, Refuat HaGuf, Refuat HaKarba, Labo V'chen Yerason, V'nomar, Amen. We begin today's daf on Tet Vav Amud Bet, 16 lines from the bottom. And we start with the words Amar Mor. Amar Mor, we learned above, Shemanichim Chaye Olam Ve'oskim V'chaye Sha'a. We learned yesterday that when Rabbi Eliezer was in the Shi'ur, so he got upset that the Talmidim left the Shi'ur to go have Simchat Yom Tov. So he said that they're leaving Chaye Olam, eternal life, and they're involving themselves in Hayesha'a, in a temporary life, in temporary pleasures. So the Gemara says, what do you mean? Veha Simchat Yom Tov Mitzvahi. What do you mean? They weren't getting involved in temporary pleasures. They went to do a mitzvah. After all, eating on Yom Tov is a mitzvah. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Eliezer leta'ameh. Rabbi Eliezer is following his reasoning, the Amar Simchat Yom Tov Reshus. Actually, Rabbi Eliezer holds that it's not mandatory to have the holiday meal. The Tanya we learned in a bright Rabbi Eliezer Omer, En lo le'adam b'yom tov. A person does not have an obligation on Yom Tov, Ela, o ochel v'shote, o yoshev v'shone. Which means if he wants, he can eat, but it's not mandatory. If he wants, instead of eating, he can sit and learn all day long, which means learning, according to the Rabbi Eliezer, is just as fine all day long instead of eating. So therefore, he holds that they shouldn't have opted for the eating, they should have opted for the learning. Rabbi Yehoshua, Rabbi Yehoshua says, no, halekeu, chatsio la'ashem, chatsio lechem. He says, no, you have to split the day. Half the day is for Hashem, and half the day is for eating and drinking. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, ushneim nikra echad dashu. Both of them learn it from the same pasuk. Ketuv echad omer, one pasuk says, atzeret la'ashem elecha, that the holiday is going to be for Hashem. The Ketuv Echad Omer, we have another pasuk that says, Atzeret Tihyeh Lachem, that it's going to be Lachem. So the Gemara HaKetzad, is it for you or is it for Hashem? So the Bili Ezeb Sabar, O Kodo Lachem, O Kodo Lachem. You could choose either all for you or all for Hashem, which means really you don't have an obligation to eat. If you want, you can eat. If you want, you could learn, but it's not mandatory. And that's what the pasuk means. Atzeret la'Hashem, and what pasuk is atzeret la'Hashem, which means it's optional. However, the Rabbi Yehoshua says, Rabbi Yehoshua Sabar, Chalekeu, Chatzio la'Hashem, Chatzio la'Hashem. He says you actually have to split it half for Hashem and half for you. Now, he quoted a pasuk yesterday, Rabbi Eliezer, when we learned it. Rabbi Eliezer told the students a pasuk that before the students left, he said, "Lechu echlu mashmanim ushdu mamtakim, go eat rich foods and drink sweet beverages. V'shilchu manot le'en nachon lo, go send gifts to those people that are not prepared." So the Gemara says, "My le'en nachon lo, who are these people that are unprepared?" Amar Efrasda le'mi shelo hiniyach eruv eruvei tavshilin, with the person who did not make the eruv tavshilin. And therefore, he cannot prepare from Yom Tov to Shabbat if he's not going to have food. So for that person, go send him food in order that he'll have something to eat. So again, the En Nachon Lo is somebody that's unprepared, who who did not prepare an eruv tafshirim. So they should share the food with that person. A little different, according to this understanding, somebody that, because of circumstances, was unable to establish the Eruv Tavshirin. For example, as she says, if you look on the first, second wide line, Shelo hayalo laniyach kegon, she'avdalo abeda me'erev yom tov, u'mechazer kol yom achareha. Let's say he was busy. He lost an object on Erev Yom Tov, and he was busy searching for it, and therefore, because of that circumstance, he wasn't able to prepare an Eruv Tavshirin. So that guy, the Biri Ezel said, send manot le'en nachonot, somebody that, because of circumstances, could not have prepared the Eruv Tavshirin. But the Gemara says, aval, mi shayalo laniach eruvet tavshirin velo eniyach, but somebody that had the ability to establish the Eruv, and he did not, poshayahu, that is considered negligent, which means then you don't have a mitzvah to send him. Now, of course, if you want, you can send him food as well, but you're not obligated to send him because really he's a poshaya, because he could have established the Eruv Tavshirin, and he didn't. And we ended the pasuk, and it says that, do not be saddened, al te'atzebu, do not be saddened, ki chedvat Hashem hi ma'uzchem, because the joy of Hashem is your security. So the Gemara says, my ki chedvat Hashem hi ma'uzchem, what does this pasuk mean? That the joy of Hashem is your security. Amar Rabbi Yohanan, Mishum Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Shimon. Amar Lehem HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yisrael, Banai, Levu Alai, V'Kadeshu Kedushat Hayom. My children, borrow on my account and properly sanctify the holiday. V'Aminu Bi V'Ani Poreya. And trust me, and I will repay your loans. Which means, the Gemara is saying, if a person, let's say, does not have enough money to make the Shabbat meal or the Yom Tov meal, let him borrow the necessary funds and trust in Hashem that what? That Borei Olam will provide him the proper resources to pay back the loan. So therefore, the joy of Hashem is your security. That means the joy that you'll have by celebrating the holiday is your security that Borei Olam will make sure that the debts will be paid back. And the Gemara continues. Ve'amar Rabbi Yohanan Mishum Rabbi Eliezer b'Rabbi Shimon harotzeh shiyitkayemu nechasav. If a person wishes his property to last, we'll see what this means. The Gemara says, how do you keep your property lasting? Yita'be eder or adar. Let him plant the adar tree. Shene'emar, based on the pasuk, adir b'marom Hashem. Adir is the strong one. Iname adra kishme, which means the word adar comes from the word idra. Keda amre incha, like the people say, my idra de kaima le dare dare, something that lasts for many generations. And what is this referring to? So let's read Rashi. Rashi 1, 2, 3, 4 lines down. Actually, three lines. If a person wants to make sure that nobody steals his field from him, or his chomes forces him to sell the field again, so the Gemara says, so Rashi says, Yita be Adar. Ilan Hashuvu. It's a very Hashuv, important tree. Yesh lo shem lemerhok. And it, when you plant that in your field, it has a reputation. Everybody knows about that tree. V'ilu machra haya kol yotze liyot nekret al shemo shel sheni. Which means, basically, what the tree is, it makes your field like a landmark. Everybody knows, oh, this is so-and-so's field. It's the one that has the adar tree on it. And therefore, if a person wants to guarantee that everybody knows that his field is his, that nobody will come and claim that, you know, that the field was sold to him or something like that, so plant this special tree. And by planting this special tree, so everybody will say, oh, we know this is Mr. So-and-so's field. We know that he has this tree on it. So it'll therefore make sure that nobody steals the tree. Next, Nashishin Emar Adir Bamarom Kilomar. She Adar Lashon Kiyum Vehozek. It comes from like Lashon Adir. She says, Kilomar, She Adar Lashon Kiyum Vehozek. Strength. Velachin Nikra Adar, like Adir. Kishme, and some say no Kishmo, Shme Freshin Bene Adam et Shemo. And what is the interpretation? So we said, Kedam Inche, my Idra. What does it mean by Idra? De Kaima Le Dare Dare. Something that will last for many generations, which means a person has this field and he puts these trees so it will cause his field to last by him for many generations. Again, same point. It's a landmark. Tanya Namehache, Sadish Yeshba Eder, a field that has this Eder tree, and an exhibit, it is not stolen. Ve'ena nechneset, it is not forcibly taken from him. Uferoteha mishtamirim, and its fruits are guarded. So that she says over here, three lines from the bottom. Uferoteha mishtamirim, lo yadana maihi. Then he says, "Yes, mefarshim shenotrim oto al gibulim." Some say they would plant the eder tree on the border. V'yeshlo anafim harbe, have a lot of branches. V'hu lasadeh legeder, and it serves the field as a border. So therefore, it protects the field because it's like a natural fence that they planted on the border of the field. V'linir e shum min esev chashuv. It's a very important esev. And the zera of this esev mixes with the fruits of the field, and it saves the tevua from all sorts of damages of worms and bugs. It seems that the smell of that zera causes the damaging insects and things like that to run away from the field. And therefore, the when the Gemara says over here, "Uperotea nishmarim," it's like a preservative to the fruits of the person's field. Gemara further. Ane Rav Tachlifa Achud Rav Nai Hoza'a. We have a bright in the name of Rav Tachlifa, the brother of Rav Nai Hoza'a. And the Gemara says, "Kol mezonotav shel Adam." All a person's panasa is fixed a whole year between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippurim. It means, of course, during the Aser Yemei Teshuvah, or the 10 days, that's when God decides how much money a person's going to make for that year. Chutz, mehotza'at Shabbatot, mehotza'at Yamim Tovim. The exception of the expenditures for the Shabbat and for the festivals. Vehotza'at banav, the Talmud Torah, and the expenditures that he pays for teaching his children Torah. Shim pichet, pochatim lo. If he spends less on those things, so they give him less. Vimosif, mosifim lo. But if he spends more, he receives more. And therefore, that's not really part of his income. That's extra over and above what he makes. Now, the Rashi tells us over here, Kol mezonotav shel Adam, top line. Kol ma she'atid l'sher bashana, whatever a person is going to make during the year, she'ehen nizon misham, katsuv lo kach ve'kach yistaker bashana zu. It's established how much he's going to make. V'yesh l'izaher, therefore Rashi says you have to be careful, me'la'asot yisiyam ruba. Don't spend and squander your money. Why? She'lo yosifu lo sechal le'mezonot, ela ma she'pasku lo. They're not going to add any more money to your bottom line. Whatever they established to give you, that's what they're giving you. They're not adding any more. So you have to know that whatever is established, that's what it is. And therefore, you have to know that to spend it wisely. Chutz me'otzaot Shabbatot, Rashi, ota lo pasku lo ma'yistaker, letzorka, which means that already they didn't decide how much you're going to make. Ome'echan tevu'ehu, and where it's going to come from. Ela, lefi ma'asher agil mamsi'im lo l'sha'a o l'harsha'a. Is whatever he needs, he'll find that money. Whether immediately or later during the year, he'll find that money. mean it'll come to him. So comes the Gemara now and says, how do we know this? Amar Rabbi Abu Me'ekra'a. How do we know this? What's the sense of the pasuk? Tichu b'chod the shofar bekes yom hagenu. Blow the shofar in the month that is called kese. So the Gemara says, what does the kese mean? Bekese eze hal she'achodesh mitkese bo. Which holiday do we have during the year that is kese, that the moon is covered? Abi Omer ze Rosh Hashanah. This is referring to Rosh Hashanah, Uchtiv, and it says in that same Perek in Tehillim, Ki chok b'Yisrael, lo mishpat Elohei Yaakov. It's a chok for Yisrael. So the Gemara says, Ve'em mashma de'ai chok v'shnat demzone. How do we know that the word chok, in this context, is a lashon of mezonot? Because it says, Dechtiv ve'achilu et chukam, asher netan lahem paro. That was referring to the rations that Paro would feed his priests. And it calls the rations chukam. Morzutra Amar Mehacha Hatrifeni Lechem Chuki. David HaMelech says, feed me my ration of bread. So you see the word Chuki refers to Panasa. And therefore it says, Kichok Li Yisraelu. That's the holiday that Chok Li said, that the Chok, that the Panasa decided for Israel. Now why is Rosh Hashanah called Bekes Tel Yom Hagenu? Why is it called the month that the moon is concealed? Because every other holiday the moon is visible because it's during the middle of the month. However, on Rosh Chodesh, the moon is only visible at certain parts of the day. And therefore, it's considered concealed. It's only visible a little part of the day, and it's not visible the rest. Therefore, it's called Bekeseh. So again, the proof is, Tik'u b'chodesh shofar Bekeseh yom hagenu. During the month that the holiday is a kese, which holiday is kese, is concealed, that's Rosh Hashanah, where the moon is concealed. And then it says, right after that, Kichok Yisraelu, that's the month, that what? That the panasa, the chok, is decided. Comes the Gemara and says, Tanya, we have a braita, Amru alav al Shammai hazakin. They said, regarding Shammai, the elder, called Yama v'ya ochel lechbot Shabbat. Every day, he would eat in honor of the Shabbat. How does he do that? Let's say he found a beautiful, nice animal. Omer zu neshabbat. He would put it aside and say it's for Shabbat. Let's say he found a better one than that one. Now he puts the second one on the side. And he eats the first one. Now, he's eating the first one, lechbot Shabbat. Why? Because by eating the first one, now he allows the second one to be available for Shabbat. So therefore, everything that he ate was really lechbot Shabbat. That was Shammai's way. Whenever he'd find something nicer, so he would put that aside. And the first item he would eat, but that's considered eating lechbot Shabbat. He's eating the first one, so he can use the second one. Aval Hillel azaken mida acheret aitan. But Hillel had a different standard, which means he would use whatever food was available on that given day. He wouldn't save anything. Shekol ma'asav v'shem shamayim. Which means he was sure, and he had bitachon, that when Shabbat came around, God was going to give him exactly what he needs. Shneimar, Baruch Adonai, Yom Yom. Bless God day by day. Hillel again had a tremendous amount of bitachon, and therefore he trusted in Borei Olam that his Shabbat needs would be provided. Comes the Gemara and says, Tanya Namiachir, we have a bride to support this. Bet Shammai Omrim, Mechad Shabich Leshabbatich. From the first day of your week, Mechad Shabich, from the first day of your week, Leshabbatich. Already you should prepare for your Shabbat. Bet Shammai Omrim, Baruch Adonai, Yom Yom. No, every day take what's coming for that day, and then you put trust in Hashem that'll give you what you need for Shabbat. Amar of Hamad Rabbi Hanina. A person who gives a gift to his friend, he does not have to inform him. How do we know this? After all, Moshe did not know that his face began to illuminate. Now, even though this is going to cause the person to wonder, hey, where did this come from? Doesn't matter. You give a gift, you don't have to let him know. What's the proof? When God illuminated Moshe Rabbeinu's face, It says he did not know about it. So comes the Gemara and says, Meti ve ladat ki ani Hashem kadeshem. It says in the pasuk that you should know that I am Hashem that has sanctified you. Actually, this pasuk over here is referring to the mitzvah of Shabbat. The pasuk says, ואתה תדבר אל בני ישראל לאמור, אך את שבתותיי תשמור, כי אותי בני ובניכם לדורותיכם, לדעת כי אני השם מקדשכם. Which means the pasuk over here is referring to the Shabbat. אמר לו הקדוש ברוך הוא למשה. הקדוש ברוך הוא תל משה, משה, מתנה טובה יש לי בבית גנזי. I have a wonderful gift in my treasure house. בשבת שבה. I want to give it to the Jewish people. Go inform them. Here, if a person gives bread to a child, you must inform the mother of the gift. Well, you see over here the exact opposite, because we learned above that in the name of Rav Chama, that if a person gives a gift, he does not have to notify the person. And he learns that from Moshe Rabbeinu, that God did not tell him about the illumination of his face. And over here we see on the contrary, God tells the Jewish people, God tells Moshe, go tell the Jewish people about the Shabbat, let them know that I'm giving them this gift. And the Gemara says over here, that when somebody gives a child something to eat, you must inform the mother. So Gemara says, Lakashia. Which means, it depends. On a matana, on a gift that eventually is going to be revealed anyway. For example, like in the case of Moshe Rabbeinu's face, eventually it was going to be revealed. Somebody was going to tell him that his face is glowing. Therefore, you do not have to reveal it to him directly. However, matana that is not going to be revealed, so then it's a mitzvah to let the person know. So the Gemara says, what do you mean? Shabbat namem matana da'avide legeluye. Which is the Shabbat also was obviously going to be revealed. Because the Jewish people eventually are going to have to keep the Shabbat. So they're going to know that there's a Shabbat in the world. So therefore, it's also going to be revealed. Why did God say, go tell them? So the Gemara says, matan sechara lo avida legeluye. But the reward for its observance was not going to become revealed. And therefore, God told Moshe Rabbeinu, go tell the people the reward that they're going to get for the observance of the Shabbat. Comes Gemara and says, Amar Mor, Nikan Amar B'Shabbat Shimon Gamliel. From here, B'Shabbat Shimon Gamliel says, Hanoten Pat, the Tinok Sarich Lehudi Alemo. That one who gives bread to a child must inform the child's mother. My Avida, how are you going to inform? Shayif Le Mishha, Umale Le Kochla. You rub some oil on the child and apply some, let's say, mascara around his eyes. And what is that going to do? So that she says, look at that she where it says, Tarif lehudia le'imo, la'asot lo ot v'siman. Which means put a siman on the child, like we said here. Put some oil or the mascara. Shim yochalinu kodim sheyavo le'imo, because if he finishes eating it before he gets home, tereh et ha'ot. The mother's going to see the sign on the child's face. V'tishalinu. Mi asa lecha kach? Who put that mascara? Who put that oil on your face? V'hu yomar peloni. V'gam natan li pat. And he also gave me a piece of bread. U'metoch kach yid'u abiv ve'imo. And therefore, the parents are going to know that that person loves them. And that's going to be love, bring love and friendship in Klal Yisrael. So again, that's basically a sign. And when you place the mark on the child's face, so basically that'll get the parents curious. Say, who put that on your face? The kid will say, the same one that gave me the bread. Oh, that'll be an indication that something happened, that the bread was given by somebody, and that will promote peace. Gemara says, Va'idana dahayshina nekeshafim. But today that we're concerned about sorcery, which means now today, we don't want to start putting paint or mascara or oil on the child's face, because the parents are going to think that somebody did magic or witchcraft to their child. So, bye. How can you inform the parents of the gift? Amara papa, shayifne me'oto amin. Which means, let the adult that gave the child the food, let him rub a little of the food on his face. For example, if he's having, let's say, a jelly sandwich, let him take some of the jelly and, you know, put it on his lips, on his cheeks. And the parent will come home and say, oh, you had a jelly sandwich. Who gave it to you? And then the child will say that I was given to him as a gift, and therefore it will promote peace. Comes the Gemara and says, Amar b'yohanan mishum nebishalon ben yochai. Kol mitzvot shenatan naem kadosh baruch hu Yisrael. All the mitzvot that God gave the Jewish people, natan lahem b'farhesya. He gave it to them in public. Chutz b'shabbat shenatan naem b'tzina'ah. Except for the Shabbat that he gave it to them in private. Shneimar b'ni uben b'nei Yisrael oti le'olam. Means the pasuk says Bini Uben Bnei Israel. That's private between me and the children of Israel. Gemara says, what do you mean? Yache lo la'anchu nuchrim ala. The goyim should not be punished on account of this. The Gemara Avodah Zarah says that la'atid lavo, God is going to punish the goyim for not accepting the Shabbat. Now, how could you punish them? They didn't know about it. It was given privately to the Jewish people. So the Gemara says, no, Shabbat odu'e odu'inu. Really, the Shabbat was revealed. And therefore, they're going to get punished for rejecting it. However, matan sechara lo d'inu, the part that was not revealed and was given to us in a secret was the reward. Ti'ibayet ema matan sechara name d'inu. God also informed them of the reward. However, neshama yetera lo d'inu, but God did not inform them of the extra neshama that a person gets on Shabbat. Amar b'shmo ben Lakish. Neshama yetera noten HaKadosh Baruch Hu ba'adam Erev Shabbat. A person gets an additional soul on Erev Shabbat. When Motzei Shabbat notin otah imenu. Motzei Shabbat they take it from him. Shnei emad Shabbat v'yin nafash. And the Gemara Doresh of Shabbat v'yin nafash. Kevan she Shabbat. Once he has completed the Shabbat, v'y avda nefesh. V'yin nafash. Woe to the soul that has been lost. And therefore, it was the neshama yetera that was given to the Jewish people in privately. The fact that there is a neshama yetera. Now the Gemara continues on the subject of eruv tavshilin. Oseh adam tavshil me'erev yom tov. So we said, a person has to prepare a dish before yom tov, and he designates it as his eruv tavshilin. Amar abaye. Lo shanu ela tavshil. This is only referring to a cooked dish. Aval pat lo, but not bread. So the Gemara says, "Mai shena pat de lo." Why isn't bread considered substantial to set for the eruv? Ilima midi demela pat ba'inan. Because maybe for the eruv you need something that is melapet the pat, that accompanies the bread. And we know upat lo melapeta, and we know that bread does not accompany bread. You don't eat bread with bread. The Gemara says you need like a condiment. Veha daisa named lo melapeta. Well, we know that pounded grains, as they call daisa, it's also not melapeta tapat. You don't eat it with bread. And the amar bizera, because the bizera taught. These foolish Babylonians, they eat bread together with bread. So you see over here that people do not eat bread with bread. And the Babylonians that ate the bread with bread or the daisa with bread, they were considered tipshim. The Amar of Nechumi bar Zechariah Meshemed Abaye Me'arbin Bedaisa. That you can use daisa. So I have a question now. What is the eder for the Eruv Tavshilin. You're telling me it has to be a Tavshil, seemingly that, but not pat. So we're assuming why? Because it has to be something that you melapet a pat, that you eat it with bread. So the Gemara says, if that's the case, daisa should not be good. But we know that Halacha says, you may indeed use daisa. So the Gemara says, Ela, midi de lo shchiach ba'inan. We need something that is not common. Upat shchicha. Bread is common. Vedaisa lo shchiach. However, the pounded grain is not common and therefore may be used. Now we have to understand exactly the habamin of the Gemara, what the thought and what the maskana was. The Gemara thought like this. Originally the Gemara said that an eruv must consist of a dish that accompanies the bread, because it seems such a food is hashuv and it will be distinguished that you set it aside for Shabbat, as opposed to regular bread. But the Gemara rejected that because we saw daisa does not accompany the bread, and it's still good. So therefore the Gemara now explains that the eruv must consist of something not frequently eaten during the week. And since bread is frequently eaten during the week, so it's not considered legitimate for the eruv, as opposed to daisa, which is not frequently eaten during the week, so that would be okay. Comes the Gemara and gives a different version. Ika de amre, amar abaye, lo shanu ela tafshil. That which we said you can use for an eruv only is a tafshil, a cooked dish, aval pa'at lo. My tama, what's the reason? Ilema, temidi de lo shchiach ba'inan. Maybe because you need something that's not common. Upat shchiach, and pat is common, therefore it's not good. V'hai daisa, lo shchiha. What do you mean? Daisa is not shachiyah, means is not common. The Amar of Nechumi Bar Zechariah Meshemed Abaye and Me'arvin B'daisa. In this opinion, it says that you cannot make an eruv with daisa. That the Gemara says, Elamidi de Melapet Ba'inan. The Gemara, according to this person, says that dafka, you need something that accompanies the bread. Upat lo melapeta. And bread does not accompany bread. V'daisa name lo melapeta. And that's why pounded grain also is not good, because it doesn't accompany bread. These foolish Babylonians who eat bread together with bread. Therefore, according to this version, neither bread nor pounded grain would be valid. So basically, the difference between the two versions is, according to the first version, the law is that you need something that's different, that's not normally eaten during the week. That's considered hashuv, lichpot Shabbat, that's how you set the eruv up. So therefore bread would not be good, but according to that version, daisa would be good. According to the second version, no, it has to be something that's melapet et apat, that's eaten with the bread. It's also lichpot Shabbat. Therefore, according to that version, both bread and daisa would not be good. Comes the Gemara and continues. Tani Rabbi Chaya, Adashim Shebishule Kedera. Let's say you have lentils that are at the bottom of a pot. The guy cooked lentils, and now, let's say, on the bottom of the pot, there were some lentils left over. Somech Alehem Mishum Eruv Tavshilin. He can rely on them for his Eruv Tavshilin. Means you can designate them for the Eruv Tavshilin. The Gemara says, the hanimili di itbil kezayit, so long as they have at least a shoot of a kezayit. Amar Rav Yitzchak ben Rav Yehuda, shemnunit she'al gabei sakin, the fat that's, let's say, on the knife, gorero, you may scrape it, v'somech alav mishum eruf tafshir, could rely it on it for the eruf tafshirin. The hanimili di itbil kezayit, again, so long as it has a kezayit. Amar Rav Aseh, Amar Rav, dagim ketanim meluchim, small fish that are salted, and bishum bishule nukhrim. There's no problem with bishul goyim. There's a law that Hachamim made that any food that's cooked by the goyim is forbidden for us to eat. The reason why they made this yisud is because they didn't want us to get close to them, and Chas v'Shalom would lead to intermarriage. But one of the laws of bishul akum is that if the food is edible on its own before the cooking, so therefore it's not going to be asud. And therefore, these salted fish, they're edible as they are. Therefore, if the goy comes and cooks these salted fish, there is no problem of bishul akum. Amar of Yosef, Amar of Yosef says, "Ve'im sela'an nochri." But if the goy came along and roasted them, tomech aleihem mishum eruv tavshilin. You can rely on it for eruv tavshilin. But the chedush is over here like this. And even though we just said it's not considered bishul akum, yeah, it's not considered bishul the anyan, the isur of bishul akum. But bottom line, if the goy does roast it, it is considered roasted. And therefore, you can use that fish for your eruv tavshilin, because bottom line, it is a roasted food. It's a tavshil, we can consider it. And therefore, it would be permissible. The avdinu nochri, kasa darsana asur. But if the Gentile made what's called kasa darsana, that's taking the fish and putting flour on it, cooking it, so that's asur. Well, the simple reason is because, bottom line, they're cooking the flour. While the fish might have been edible in its salted state, but the flour was not edible. And therefore, if a goy cooks kasa darsana, breaded fish, so it's going to be a problem of bishul akum. So the Gemara says peshita. Of course it should be asur. Bottom line, he's cooking the flour. Gemara says, mal detema. I would have thought harsana ikar. I might have thought that the fish fat is the main ingredient. And therefore, since the fish fat is edible, so therefore there's no problem. Kamashma'alan kimha ikar. Kamashma'alan, that the flour is the main ingredient. And therefore, since they cooked the flour, which was unedible, therefore it is a problem of bishul akum. Amar Rabbi Abba, erube tavshilin sidikin kezayit. Erub tavshilin needs a kezayit, like we said. Iba'i lehu, the question was this, kezayit echad lekulan, is a kezayit enough for everybody who wants to rely on the erub tavshilin, or dilma kezayit lechol echad ve'echad, or maybe for each one. Which means, let's say a person is making an eruv tavshilin for his family, his household, and another household. So the question is, do you need a kezayit per household, or is it enough to have a kezayit to cover everybody? That's the Gemara's question. To that, the Gemara says, Tashema de amara bi abab amarav, eruv tavshilin sedikin kezayit, ben lehad, ben lemean. An eruv tavshilin, it's a kezayit, whether it's for one, whether it's for many, tenan. We learned in the Mishnah, Achalo o she'abado. If let's say one ate the eruv, or let's say the eruv was lost, lo yivashel alav betechila. So one may not cook from Friday to Shabbat. Shiyir memenu kolshu, but even if there's a kolshu, meaning a drop left, somech alav v'shapai, you can rely on it to cook for Shabbat. So the Gemara says from the Lashon of the Mishnah that says kolshu, Lav afalgav de leka kezayit. It's mashma that even if it does not have a kezayit. Now that goes against Rabbi Abba's ruling, because Rabbi Abba just taught us that you need at least a kezayit. Gemara says, Gemara says, no, the eat be kezayit. Which is when the Mishnah said, Shiyer memenu kolshu. Kolshu doesn't mean a drop, it means minimally a kezayit. But I ask another question. Tashema tavshil shel sali. Let's say you have a cooked food where you roasted it. Va'afilu kavush. Or let's say the item was pickled. Shaluk. Shaluk is cooked very much. Umevushal, cooked normally. Ve'kolyas ha'espanin, or Spanish mackerel type of fish. Shenatan alav hamin me'erev yom tov, where you poured hot water on it before Yom Tov, and bottom line, you made it now cooked, you made it edible. Techilato v'sofo en lo shi'ur. Which means, techilato, at the beginning of the establishment of the eruv, techilato, there's no shi'ur. V'sofo, which means, if something happened to it at the end, there is also no shi'ur. Mai lab en lo shi'ur klal. It's mashmada. In the beginning, there's no shi'ur, nor if something happens to it at the end, there's also no shi'ur. So how can Rabbi Abba say you need a kezayit? So Gemara says, lo, en no shi'ur lema'la. It means, yeah, there's no shi'ur on a maximum going upward. Aval yes lo shi'ur lema'ta. But there is a minimum. And what is the minimum? A kezayit. And the Gemara continues, amar abhuna amarav erubet tavshilin sidichin da'at. The Eruv Tavshilin requires knowledge, which means the one that's establishing it has to establish it with knowledge. There's no question that needs the knowledge of the one that's establishing the Eruv. Since he's establishing it, he has to know exactly what he's doing. That, of course, he has to have kavanah that the Eruv should be effective. He has to have kavanah that the Eruv should work. However, da'at she'nicho lo ba'inam, do you have to have kavanah also? Does the person who the Eruv was established for, does he also have to have kavanah? Or lo ba'inam? Or is it not necessary? Again, let's read that inside. Da'at mi she'nicho lo lamidvav ba'inam, do you have to have kavanah for the one that it's established for, meaning the person that the Eruv established for, does he have to have kavanah as well? Or maybe no. Maybe so long as the one that placed the Eruv at Kavanah for everybody, it's enough. So the Gemara says, Tashema de Abu de Shmuel, the father of Shmuel, Me'arev Akula Nehavde'ah. He would make an Eruv for the entire city of Nehavde'ah. Rav Ameh and Rav Aseh Me'arvu Akunu Teveria. Rav Aseh and Rav Ameh, they would make an Eruv for all the people in Teveria. Now, some want to say the proof is from these two stories. That what? That you see that they made the Eruv for everybody, and who knows if the other people had Kavanah for them or not. But other Rishonim want to say no. The proof is actually from the third story, which we're going to read now. Machriz Rabbi Yaakov Bar Idi. Rabbi Yaakov Bar Idi used to announce on Yom Tov, Mishelohiniyach Eruvet Tavshirin, Yabov Yismoch Al Shiri. Whoever did not set up the Eruv Tavshirin, you can come and rely on mine. And therefore you see, obviously, the people had no idea that the Eruv was being established for them before Yom Tov, because he was announcing it on Yom Tov itself. Whoever needs an Eruv, you can rely on mine. So you see, you don't need that of the person that it's being established for. That's the Gemara's proof. So the Gemara says, Ve'ad kama. Now, you're allowed to establish Eruv for other people, but until what distance? She's people, how far away? Until the Tchum Shabbat, which means until 2,000 Amah outside the city. That's considered the range where a person can establish Eruv for somebody else. There was a blind man who used to recite Braitot in front of Moshe Mu'ev. One time on the holiday, Mor Shemuel saw that he was upset. Amar le, so he told him, Amai atzibat. He tells him, why are you dejected? Amar le, de lo otive eruve tafshirin. He says, because I did not establish the eruv tafshirin, and therefore I cannot prepare for...
Hello?
Correct.
Okay.
That's what I think.
I don't know where he was calling from, but I'm very busy over there.
Yeah, every 2 seconds.
Every 2 seconds, the phone ringing, the thing going.
Are you there, boys?
Yeah, Rabbi.
Yes, Rabbi.
Okay, I lost you for 1 second. I'll start that story again.
Okay.
Gemara continues. Hahu samya. Dahaba mesader matnita kamedemor Shemuel. There was a certain blind man that used to recite Braitot in front of Mor Shemuel. Chazya dahaba asif. On Yom Tov, Shemuel saw that the blind man was all upset. Amar le, so Shemuel tells him, Amai atzibat, why are you upset? Amar le, te lo otivi eruve tafshilin, because I didn't establish an eruv tafshilin, and therefore I cannot prepare food for Shabbat. Amar le, smoch adidi. It's okay, you can rely on my eruv. I establish it for the entire community. The shana, the next year, hazya adava atziv. Again, Shemuel saw the blind man, was dejected again on Yom Tov. Amar le, amai atzibat, why are you dejected? Again, because I did not establish the Eruv Tavshilin. That's it. It's the second time. One time you let you forget. But the second time it's considered negligent. For everyone else, it's permissible to rely on my Eruv Tavshilin. But for you, it is going to be prohibited. Why? Because since you were negligent about keeping this halakha, you cannot rely on this leniency. Now, we just should point out one item. If you look at the Rashi, Rashi says, on the Dibur HaMatchil, L'shana acheret ve'rosh ha'shana haya, she'en yachol laniyah o latnot. Rashi says the case over here of the blind man was talking about Rosh Hashanah. Now, on Rosh Hashanah, as we learned in the first Perek, the 2 days of Rosh Hashanah are considered Yom Ha'arichta. And therefore, it would not help you if you forgot to make the Eruv on the first day of Yom Tov. Normally, on a regular Yom Tov, you're allowed to make a condition that if today is Yom Tov, then tomorrow is not Yom Tov, and therefore I don't need an Eruv. And if today is Chol, then my Eruv will be established today, and tomorrow is Yom Tov, I can cook based on the Eruv that I made today. So therefore, normally on a regular Yom Tov of 2 days, you can make a conditional Eruv, even if you forgot to make it before. So that she goes out of his way to tell us that we have to say the blind man, the case was Rosh Hashanah. Now the Rishonim do ask on Rashi over here, why do you have to say it's Rosh Hashanah? You could just say it's a case of the second day of Yom Tov that he remembered. Once it gets the second day of Yom Tov, this conditional Eruv is not an option. Secondly, they ask on Rashi, why did Rashi tell us that only during the second year, when he forgot, that she tells us it was Rosh Hashanah. Why didn't he tell us in the first year as well? And therefore, many argue on Nashi and just say it was a regular case of 2 days of Yom Tov, and he remembered on the second day. But that's the opinions either way. Baruch Adonai le'olam. Amen v'amen.